Commit your heart to God afresh as we gain ascendancy in the presence of God. Just commit your heart afresh. Commit your heart afresh as we gain ascendancy this morning. Welcome him to have his way. Welcome him to have his way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, so we saw from yesterday that there is a performance expectation on the basis of several investments of God on our lives. A performance expectation. And so we are using the life of Peter, the life of Paul, to analyze the implication of a higher measure of grace that finds expression when God heightens a particular move within the territory. Hallelujah. Elijah had an anointing from God, but Elisha had measure of the same anointing. So in the study of life, because we are all recipients of the life of God, in the study of life there are a few parameters that we can engage in trying to understand the operation of the divine life within the vessel of the believer. Few parameters that we can engage in the study of life. The first parameter that we can engage is measure. Measure. So we can have differences in measure of the same life. Differences in measure. So we have Elijah functioning under a type of anointing. A specific type of anointing was upon Elijah. And the Bible reveals that Elisha had the same kind of anointing that Elijah had, but in a different measure. So if we want to establish some form of measurement, some form of measuring system with respect to the manifestation, the operation of the life of God, one of the parameters that we can deduce is measure. Now, we are going to talk a lot about measure this morning. Measure. Hallelujah. Measure. Another parameter that we can use to reference life is intensity. Intensity. If we move to the Old Testament in the book of First Kings, when we see the way the temple was constructed, I was trying to bring that out the other time, but I felt it wasn't time to enter into those matters. Another parameter is intensity. We can have the operation of Christ within your spirit, but with varying levels of intensity. Varying levels of intensity. And I gave the example of how that when we were in Kano, we were persecuted as Christians. Christians were being slaughtered when I was 7. And so we had to pray much more than the average Christian would need to pray to survive sub-territories. And then when eventually I went to Abuja, because for us it was normal in Kano to sustain that level of intensity in order to be able to handle the situations on ground. Then I moved to Abuja, where my people were in government then. They had a government apartment, fully air conditioned. They were flexing in Abuja. And they wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, Jesus." Oh. That was their level of intensity. All right. It's the same grace, the same operation of Christ, but it can actually sustain varying levels of intensity. Amen? Hallelujah. And meanwhile, there are several things in the realm of the Spirit that you cannot catch on some levels of intensity. Now, intensity, as we speak, talks about energy levels. You cannot access some dimensions of God. Maybe in your life, you may not have seen sick people healed. It's not because the scriptures is not true that says you will lay your hands upon the sick and you see them recover. It's just that those realities actually exist on levels of intensity. So we have measure, we also have intensity. Are you with me? This is the study of life, the operation, the technology of the divine life in the human spirit. Based on the experiential perspective, we're able to, you know, crystallize these parameters from whence we can accurately understand the dealings of God on the lives of these special messengers of His. So we have another parameter called intensity. Hallelujah. We also have another variable, because God can operate in different dimensions. You see, our own world is a restricted world, but God's realm and the spirit realm is not as restricted as the natural realm. Hallelujah. Now, God can show you one thing, but from another dimension, and it will look as if it's totally different. Now, so we also have the variable of dimensions. Variable of dimensions. Now, Jacob was leaving home and he stumbled upon Bethel. And he used stones for his pillow. Are you still with me? He used what? Stones for his pillow. The place was a wasteland. It was a barren land. It was not a place you want to spend the night. But somehow the sun set and met him in Bethel. And he used stones for pillow. Hallelujah. And in the night time, his spiritual senses were activated based on the lineage. God was trying to bring him into a particular spiritual genealogy. And an operation had to take place on his life. And in keeping with that operation that was necessary for him to be able to be a true heir of a spiritual lineage, he had to undergo some spiritual encounters. And his spiritual senses were activated. And he saw the same location from another dimension. Are you with me? He saw what? From. Now, so we also have that variable of dimension. And all of this tools we are picking is very critical in analyzing encounters, in analyzing experiences, in analyzing dealings, in analyzing the operations of God upon the life of His people. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So we have what? Number one, we have what? Measures. Then we have what? Intensity. Then we have what? Dimensions. And then we also have levels. Levels. It's just like you cannot be admitted into a university in 300 level. You need to go through one level before you are ushered into another level. And that we can see from the book of Ezekiel. How that in the move of God, it was a sovereign move of God, but it was measurable by levels. Now, if you take inventory of your own spiritual life, because it's needful in this time, one of the paramount emphases of revelatory knowledge that must get out to the people of God in this time is the technology of the divine life. We need to understand it. It's a life form, all right? It has dynamics, it has. Just like your natural life educates you to know when you are hungry, when you are thirsty, when you need to use the restroom. It's your natural life that educates you about that need. So the spiritual life that we have in Christ Jesus, what you receive from God through Christ, also has its own education, has its own intuitions, has its own nudgings, has its own promptings, right? So based on the promptings, based on the nudgings of this life, we can actually understand what we are dealing with and the nature of that which we are dealing with. Are you with me? In knowing a spirit, in getting to know a spirit, hallelujah, you need to take into inventory your experiences that you get when interfacing with that spirit. If you tell a lie, how does the spirit? So over time, you'll be able to label that spirit, that this spirit is a holy kind of spirit. It doesn't want you to be involved with. He will cry out anytime you are involved with something that is contrary to his own mode of civilization. So it's from the experiential perspective that we can actually study that personality and then teach the people of God how to relate with such a personality. My emphasis this morning in bringing all of these tools and parameters together is bringing us to a point where we can understand the dynamics that is attributed to the great blessing of the life of God that we share in Christ Jesus. All right? So we have what? Measures. So there are measures of grace. And if you don't have a certain measure, there are several things. You don't even have clearance to do several things. So, and you might see someone that has that kind of measure, do some stuff, and then you with a lower measure now move in the flesh to try to act out those things. And then you are invited, you are allowed, you are introduced, you are brought into the corridor of temptation and demonic pressure that people in that measure have the capacity to sustain. That's their level. For every level, every new level, there's a new devil. Well, Satan is constrained and demons are constrained. Some demons, you have not had any dealings with them because you have not reached a level where they will become concerned about you. Now, in the Bible, there were only three people that Satan himself accosted. Three people. Directly. He didn't send anybody. He didn't send any demon. And first is Jesus. In the book of Matthew chapter 4. Second is Paul. He said, and Satan, he did what? He hindered us. And then the third person, Job. There were only three people that the Bible revealed that Satan himself came against. And I want to assure us that maybe only very few of us in this hall now have had the devil come at you directly. You have to get to a particular level. There's a measure that you have that you become a threat to Satan directly. And so that guy doesn't have the measure of the person he saw, and he went to copy him in the village. Then suddenly he's brought into the corridor of people that behave like that. And then he doesn't have the capacity to sustain that level because he doesn't have clearance because he doesn't have the measure. There are some things that some preachers can say because of mandate, because of measure, because of stature, because of ranking. Like me, I say a lot. And because I'm a corrective prophet, So when things are happening in the body of Christ, I can say, Kai, this thing that Deeper Life is doing is a tradition of man. I am licensed to operate like that. I work with customs. All right. Hallelujah. So I screen the commodities that enter into the body of Christ. And just in case one entered without my knowledge, I trace it, I chase it, I fight it. And the people I'm fighting for, we know. The people I'm fighting for, when they listen to what I'm saying, they'll receive the enlightenment that God wanted me to give. All right? The people I'm not fighting for will see me as a threat and will fight me. So it's part of the... You cannot do proper apostolic representation without being exposed to persecution. It's part of the apostolic ministry. Now, so we have seen that these are the dynamics of what? Of the operations of the dealings of God through the potential that is captured within the life of God that we are sharing in Christ Jesus. Are you with me now? Now, so we are going to x-ray some of these encounters these people had, and then we are going to look at the encounter critically and try to find out how we can classify it. Because you must be able to define and classify the move of God on your life, the kind of encounters you are exposed to. That is going to give you an insight if you are a good student of the Bible. And if you can really see what God is saying in the scriptures. Because you can read the Bible, but you are not seeing what God is saying. If you can see what God is saying in the scriptures, you can actually understand your level and what you have clearance to do. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, so let's look at these two guys. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we had time, we would have gone to the book of 1 Kings chapter 6. You are going to see in the temple. In the temple, you will see intensity, you will see measure, you will see levels, you will see all of those things. Yes. All of those things in the temple. And it was crafted with such... In fact, it took a revelation for someone to get that kind of building pattern. Took a revelation. Because the temple was constructed not just to capture human offices. It was also constructed to capture angelic offices. It was also designed to capture divine offices. Divine offices. And what I mean by that is, before the temple was built, a vision of heaven was seen. The place where God is domiciled in heaven was visualized. Are you with me? Before the temple was constructed, the heavens were seen, and the offices from whence angels operate was also captured. And through the spirit of, that's the spirit of revelation, through the spirit of wisdom, the knowledge as to how to build something on earth that captures those dimensions was given through the spirit of wisdom. And when this construction was done in this wisdom, the implication was that angels would drop from their own corridor in heaven and drop into the temple and not know that they changed realm. Oh, you didn't see it. There are many things I hope one day I'll be able to teach us. We have not reached where I will talk, say what I wanted to say. So let's just focus on this. There is a level of apostolic wisdom that I believe God is calling us to walk in, where you can actually, through understanding and through revelation, through access and through wisdom, you can construct something in the apostolic model of a particular platform that mirrors a dimension that you have seen, and as such, that dimension becomes commonplace on earth. The reason for a shrine in your village is that the Ezemo has received insight on how to construct something that can capture the realm of a particular spirit. So the spirit has clearance. The spirit has line sense to be able to jump into that place because its realm has been captured there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So in apostolic wisdom, we are trying to capture the dimensions of God now. If God said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it means he has business to do on earth. And we need to pave the way for him to be domiciled on it. If not that Adam sinned, Jesus was visiting Adam in the garden. Maybe, in my own opinion, I think he was trying to get an accommodation, permanent accommodation. I know you won't believe me. But when we go back to the book of Revelation, you will see the real meaning of Emmanuel. In the new heaven and the new earth, Jesus will not be in the new heaven. He will be domiciled on earth permanently. He was trying to achieve that with Adam, but a lot of things went wrong. Now see, so apostolic wisdom will have to come for us to be able to carve out structures and patterns on earth that mirror dimensions in heaven so that we can trap heavenly reality on it. It takes a lot of wisdom to do that. The kind of wisdom I speak of is not the type you can contact just because you attended a seminary. It means that you are spontaneous, you are linked to heaven real time. You have gained mastery on heaven's technology. You have been brought into heaven's reality so much that you now understand the basis upon which the civilization that breaks out there is established. You have come back on earth. Through the spirit of wisdom, you can implement the same thing here using the tools that God makes available. And you can mirror those dimensions, you can capture those dimensions, you can build those structures in order to host God as a permanent guest and host angelic dimensions and host realms and create pavilions for those realms to break into the earth and bring illumination upon the face of the earth. That wisdom must come, and it's on the strength of that wisdom that we are going to displace most of the demonic strongholds in territories, in nations, and in cities. Hallelujah. So we must have a means and a measurement by which we can articulate measure of life, the operation of the activity of Christ within our spirit that was required to perform a manifestation. Come with me. And so, God will help us. In Jesus' mighty name. First of all, we'll begin from the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. No, I was preaching yesterday. I was not teaching. I was preaching. I was excited. But see, that's not how God's things are built in the lives of people. That anointing I did, it motivated you. It made you know that there was something. But I need to show you the something. And that's where the teaching comes. If we preach alone, preach, people will get excited or not be established. So I was preaching. Even though I was using a lot of scriptures, but I was still preaching. But now I've come to teach, to establish the things that I'm talking about, so that the least of us will understand what God is emphasizing. It is then that it can now become life applicable. Because everything that we receive from God, in fact, the reason why the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit is because God wants to become user-friendly. He wants to be partake of your daily life. He wants to be part of what you do on a daily basis. And somebody went to God and asked him and said, "This Chelsea Man U thing, how do you see it? People are this football craze. What's your own take about this?" He said his only regret is that we are doing it without him. That is all. It would have brought him into our world and allow him to regulate our world and give us his own perspective concerning our world. But his only regret is we are doing our Man U Chelsea stuff without him. That's the only problem. He doesn't have a problem with it, but his problem is that what? We are doing it without him. We are liking things without him. We choose teams without him. Now, if you know how desperately God wants to be a part of your daily existence, how he wants to influence your choices, how he wants to be part of your decision-making processes, how he wants to lead you into that which he has promised you, how he wants to stand with you for the realization of his plans in your life. He desperately wants to do that. And his only problem with us is that we have learned how to live our lives, catch our fun, get entertained, all without him. Now, let's go to the book of John chapter 3. It is time to seek the Lord. In John chapter 3, from verse 7, Jesus says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Marvel not. Let it not be strange to you. Let it not be a mystery to you that I say at this age you must be born again. And he did not suggest to him that, I think you need to be born again. He said, you must be born again. There is no exception. I've tried to formulate an exception, but in this matter, there is no possible exception. Ye must be born again. He said, marvel not that I say that's how it is. Now, you see, when you approach the spirit realm, when you want to begin to deal with God, you come to God with your ideas, with your philosophy, with your experiences, with the things that you have encountered. It forms a very mighty stronghold in your mental faculty. And it is so authoritative, it wants to regulate the things that enter into your life. Then you now come into the realm of the spirit. The realm is rigid, it's established, it's steadfast. And then, because of your own philosophy, you believe that some things should be variable sometimes, some things can bend sometimes, some things should be subject to change sometimes. And then you now come in contact with a realm where, as much as there is a great desire for you to participate in that realm, you are confronted with several things that cannot be adjusted on your account. Hallelujah. You see, it happens to be that the Holy Ghost is a king spirit. It's a king spirit. A spirit that can be invoked. They can invoke a Madio, do incantation and invoke him. But you cannot invoke Jehovah with a mantra. The reason is because spirits have categories, they have rankings, they have levels. An occultist that converted, became a Christian, was recalling his experience that it takes 11 months and 11 days of fasting to be able to invoke Satan himself. Satan can be invoked because originally he was a ministering spirit. So he can be invoked. But Jehovah cannot be invoked because he's a king spirit. He's the one that sends other spirits on errand. So you cannot engage his services. He moves because he chooses to move. He walks because he chooses to walk. He associate with you because that is his choice. In fact, it's needful also for you to understand that, just in case you are crying, it's not a motivation to get him to move. Now, so this guy now came in physical confrontation with a realm that cannot be moved. Have you ever read that scripture? It says, seeing that you have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. No. The only way to interface with the kingdom is to align with existing structures. And so Jesus said, ye must. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. That's how it's going to start. That's how your journey is going to begin. Ye must be born again. Everything you do outside of being born again doesn't strike a chord where it matters. You are like a creature of time, measured and defined by days and years. But if you are going to enter into immortal things, there are immortal structures that you must have to recognize and submit. So he said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Now, Jesus in the next verse now shows us why ye must be born again. There are possibilities in God that you cannot attain to except you are born again. That is why he gave that illustration. And he said that the wind bloweth where it listed. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou knowest not whither I cometh or whither I goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Are you with me? Now, so when you get born again, what you have is a potential to become something. You have not become that thing, but you have the potential to become that thing. As many as receive him, to them gave he authority to be called the sons of God. You have the authority to function. Authority grants you access. They say you have entered into a system that affords you access to God. And that access to God is intended by God to bring you into a particular state. Just like we have liquid, gaseous, and solid state. Your access to God affords you the opportunity to come into a particular state and to actualize a particular potential and possibility. Now, listen to me. I've said it on and on that there are four words in the Greek for power. And one of them is dunamis. And dunamis was used in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. And ye shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in what? Jerusalem. In what? Judea. In what? Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you did elementary physics, dunamis is potential energy. For scientists that are present here, you understand what I'm talking about. It's potential. That's number one. It is kratos that is kinetic energy. It is iskos that is surpassing energy. Now let's start with dunamis. Dunamis is a potential. He said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, baptized, when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, what you receive is potential energy. You are exposed to a potential. You are exposed to a possibility on the account of the investment that you just received. Secondly, dunamis is inherent energy. It's potential energy. It's also what? Inherent energy. And what I mean by inherent is not just that I want to bamboozle you with English language. But what I mean by inherent is that it is no longer God's responsibility to operate it. It is your responsibility. It's given and it is domiciling you like a software. Just like when you download a software on your cell phone, you use the software when you want to. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the only spiritual gift that you can operate when you want to. It is at your disposal to operate when you want to. Every other gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will operate it in your life as He wills, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit, being that it is inherent, it is not up to God to operate. It is what? Up to you. That is to say that the potential that is achievable by that investment, if you don't attain onto that potential, it is not God's fault. Because it's inherent. It means you refuse to use the possibilities that are bound with that investment in order to achieve its possible potential. So it is you that is faulty, not God. I've seen so many believers come and say, oh God, I forgot it. Why not do your part and allow Him to be sovereign? Allow Him to do His part. But you see, those people complaining, 100% of the time, they have not fulfilled their own measure. And they are expecting something to change. Meanwhile, it's inherent. Dunamis, being potential energy, it is at the initial instance when you want to engage it that you need external help to be supplied. Just like your generator. Your generator has a dynamo. The word dunamis is from dunamis that we have another word which is more complex, but it's from that word that we now have dynamos, from dunamis to dynamo in English language. And the dynamo is that part of your generating set that there's a rope that you draw. So the dynamo begins to go through some oscillations. If the oscillation peak is achieved, then you have engaged the potential. So the system can turn the dynamo by itself. It can be self-sustaining thereafter. After you have engaged the external force to maintain, take oscillation to a particular level, then you can sustain the activity of the dynamo. The system, the dunamis, the potential is capable of handling itself thereafter. So, but if dunamis is not engaged, if your generator is not switched on, is it God that will come and switch your generator on? It's not switched on. How can you realize that potential? Meanwhile, you can be in darkness in your house. You have a generator, you have fuel, and you have a dynamo waiting to be assisted. But that is never done. And you're expecting that, okay, maybe through some means. You see, our expectations are unfounded, because in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, marvel not that I say, ye must. There are some things that, because you are coming to the kingdom, it is a must. And if you are not diligent to apply the must, to acknowledge the must, It means you are not ready to do business with God. So you need to apply external help in order for you to realize the potential of dunamis. And then when the potential of dunamis is realized, it can sustain itself. Are you with me? Are you here? Good, it can sustain itself. Then when it sustains itself, it now produces electricity. That's Kratos. Then Kratos has the ability to switch on the light bulbs, run the fan. It is dunamis engaged that produces Kratos. Then it comes to iskus. Iskus is a comparative word for power. It's comparative. Well, okay, I'm going too far. The only thing I wanted to touch is potential. Now, when you came into God, what you were given is potential. When you came, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, what you were given is potential. It's inherent. It is domiciled. It is potential energy. And it is only when it is appropriated that its potentials can be realized. So Jesus was saying, ye must be born again. But when you get born again, what you receive is a potential. Then Jesus now went forth and gave an illustration. And he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. See, what Jesus was trying to illustrate is not the situation of a man that just got born again. It's a situation of a man that has achieved and actualized the potential that is attributed to being born again. This is where the potentials you have received on the account of your birth in Christ will take you. Eventually, you become like a wind that blows where it what? Listed. That's where we got the phrase, move of God. From that wind that blows where it listed. It means you get so fused into spirit life, get so addicted to spirit life, you begin to explore God the way astronauts explore space. You function with God like that until you become much more a creature that is factored in God's class than in the earthly class. You become more immortal than natural. You operate from the immortal realm. That's what you have the potentials to become. But my question is, how many Christians in Nigeria operate like that? Because the things that Paul was teaching that we spoke about yesterday, he said, neither was I taught it. So he has actually actualized that illustration that Jesus gave about the wind. That's how revival comes. So God raises a man. Raises that man. The man is willing to be spontaneous and he eventually now finds the secret of how to actually operate from the immortal realm. And that becomes his default mode. Meanwhile, many people are on flight mode. Have you seen flight mode on your phone? Now, when you get back from this place, I know you have not tried it. When you get back from this place, take your phone and put it on flight mode and then see the capabilities of the phone. In fact, the internet is shut down. Everything is shut down. What is left? Pastor, because I've not tried it. I am intending to try it after this moment. What is left when you put it on flight mode? The screen. You can access what? Your music. Okay, you can access your music. No connectivity to the internet. You are localized. Flight mode. Now, the average Christian in Nigeria and even in the Pentecostal church has learned how to survive without the Holy Ghost. We are really on flight mode. Now, the God of the Bible, wait. I know you don't. Calm down. The God of the Bible that you read about, will it be such a task for him to take on Boko Haram? It's a proof that there's something wrong with our Christianity. It's either that God is judging us for our backslidingness, our sin and iniquity, or the God we call God now is no longer the true God. It's one of the two. Because largely we are on flight mode. Just like I said yesterday, somebody's note in 2015, computer science student, one of the topics they handled was how to care for a floppy disk. That's the history of computer science. You see, it is possible for a pastor to be preaching the history of Christianity. History, recycling corridors of the distant past in our heritage. That's the basis of his ministry. That's what you see. We are not in sync with heaven. That's the truth. The civilization that is breaking out in heaven is not what we have on ground. So what we have on ground? That's charismatic excitement ranging from the spurious to the scandalous. We have charismatic zoos, high-level cloning, traditions of men, and then we punctuate it with the name of Jesus. Now, our generation needs real answers to real problems, real answers to real demons, real answers to real spirits, real answers to Boko Haram. Not philosophy, not fantasy answers. Not. That's where we know the difference between a prophet and a gainsayer. A prophet shows up where there are real solutions to practical plaguing and bedeviling problems. And he brings solutions on ground. There are measures of life he carries. There are many factors by which we can describe the economy and the technology that he's functioning with. And all of that is captured within our potential, within the dynamics. But the unfortunate thing is that we have not maximized that potential to achieve a zenith power and strength. And I believe that it's the call of our generation to achieve that. The call of our generation to achieve that. Some time ago in my discussion, spiritual discussion and meditation, I was able to see how many spiritual years we were behind heaven's current civilization. How many spiritual years? Sometimes I have utterance to speak about these things when I'm not here, much more than when I'm here. Because, you know, you can't just start talking when there's no utterance. Some things were given in a very complicated, mysterious form. It will only take utterance from that realm to be able to communicate. We are spiritual years behind. And what we are practicing now is measured Christianity. Christianity that is trying to ensure that we don't cause Muslims trouble, we don't cause authorities trouble, we're just trying to stay, to exist, is far removed from the way Apostle Paul operated. And I found out that the safest place to be in a battle is in the front lines. That's a spiritual battle. It's in the front lines. Everybody that said, if I die, I die, they die. The ones that say, everybody that say, if I die, I die, they never die. Then the ones that say, we'll go die there. If God were to open the window of heaven, they didn't see the evening tide. They didn't see the smoke from the evening oblation. It's not a risk to go all out with God. It's actually a risk not to. All right. So there is this potential that we can achieve. And when God comes to us and on the strength of our new birth, we are brought into the corridor of potentials. Now, my challenge now is actualizing that potential to fill up everything that was captured within the description of this illustration that Jesus gave in verse 8. Let's go again and read verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Here in this scripture, potential has been actualized. That means as calm and collected as mommy is. Mommy is a cool woman. Alright? Mommy is you I'm talking about. As cool as you are. When you actualize that potential, you are like the wind. Because the Bible says, so is everyone. There is no one that actualizes this potential that doesn't come into this description. So is everyone. In our day, it's not popular for people to teach people on how to function spiritually, how to maintain spirit life, how to grow on the path of spiritual progress, how to come into immortal dimensions. That was how Paul and his contemporaries were. What we are doing is measured and is a history of Christianity. The history. Because God is real time, God is alive, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive now, so there's real time breaking news coming from heaven now. If you were not in alignment, you missed out on the news. And the technology is growing and it's expanding and it's rushing like a rushing mighty wind. It's advancing forcefully. And then you have been out of sync for a long time. You are the history of Christianity. Your life is a history. And what you are manifesting now is a 1982 model of yourself. Have you seen Ben's regular? Regular Benz. Hallelujah. Now, by the time they put me in the ground, that is if Jesus doesn't come before that time, by the time they put me, you know there's football age and there's real age. there's also a mortal age and physical age. I want to be in sync with the model of me in the mortal dimension. That is when you bring two of us together and say, okay, this is the same man. This is him. Alright, so there's a potential that we need to actualize. And the basis of our studying into the lives of these great, great pillars, these great, great foundational apostles in the household of God, is so that we can look upon our heritage and see the veracity of our first fathers and see the faith, the unfeigned faith in all jealousy and purity that was extended by our ancestors in this apostolic order. When we study them, then we now contrast it with the measured Christianity that we are running today, and then you know there's a problem. It's very good to know that there's a problem, because when you know there's a problem, the next step is we'll begin to seek solution. That's a very good thing, to identify that there's a challenge. He said, who are you, Lord? That's a problem. He has identified the problem. That I don't know you. Maybe that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Then he was in sync for an encounter from God. Now, so we are going to study the life of Peter. We'll study the life of Paul. Now, and the signature that we're going to use for this first level of study is the scripture that I just read to us. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Do you get that? All right, so we're going to use that signature as the basis of our study. Now, this illustration that Jesus gave actually captures the perspective, the portrait of a compliant son of God. A compliant son of God. Because the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, you gave your life to Christ, but yet you have not yet recognized the authority of the Holy Spirit for Him to be able to lead you, and that your life will now be based on His leading. So, but when you now evolve, and God brings you to that point where you become the circumcision that worship the Father in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus your Lord and having no confidence in the flesh. That is a dealing of God that has brought you to a particular state, just like solid, liquid, and gas. You are in a state now. When through dealings of God, through disappointments that God has orchestrated, situations that were orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, you tried to engage them with your flesh and you saw the futility of your flesh, you are brought to a point where you now are forced to contemplate something that you did not want to contemplate before. How futile your capacity in the flesh is as opposed to spiritual realities. Then you become the circumcision that worships the Father in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus your Lord, and having no confidence in the flesh. You are now disposed to spirit leading at that point. That's the elementary point of being led by the Spirit as a default mode. All right? You had that potential the day you gave your life to Christ, but it will not be actualized that same day, because you need to go through a process in order for you to have confidence in spirit protocol, in order for you to align to spirit structure, in order for you to give yourself So the Holy Ghost, in order for him to handle you, to deal with you, and to walk upon your life, and then you become an expression of his will and policy statements from his realm of reality. It doesn't happen in the day. But the illustration in verse 8 is actually the portrait of a man that has gained mastery and has actualized the potential. Now, these two guys have gained mastery. Peter and Paul. But let us study the texture of their mastery. And that scripture is a scripture that we'll use as a yardstick of our evaluation. We have scriptures, we have stuff to do today in investigating the move of God that was upon the lives of these people, in order for us to be able to articulate and draw up a template of what is the minimum requirement that God will demand for a generation such as us, if we are going to do the kind of work that most of our fathers were not able to do. All right. Okay. Let's do Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Now, I would like you to do this. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe in your notebook, you draw a table. You put Peter on one side. You put Paul on one side. Put Peter on one side on the table. Then you put Paul on one side. So in Peter's column, you can write Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. You guys had a mic. Where's your mic? Alright, so who will do my reading for me? Okay. You are led. Are you led? Are you led? Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. Now that's in Peter's column. Let us see Peter's, how, you know, the texture of Peter's dealings with God, his responses, how easy is it for the Holy Spirit to handle a man like Peter? Because we say that the wind blows where it least. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You cannot tell from whence it cometh. You cannot tell from whither it goeth. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's talking about a man that is spontaneous, a man that is pliable, malleable in the hands of the Spirit of God. A man that is easy for God to lead, easy for God to ride. A man that has imbibed not his own character, but the Spirit's character. Hallelujah. Have you ever had the time to talk to somebody and the person say, me and the way I operate? That's a man that has excluded himself from spirit culture. So he now is trying to exalt his own specimen as you know, as the perspective of civilization in his own world. Me. No, you don't have a personality that is approved. Your personality is not approved. There's only one personality that is approved, and he is Jesus. And his spirit has brought his personality into our spirit. And we are called as Christians to deny your own personality and take on his own personality, his own perspective, his own priorities. That's how you become a Christian. See, but before that can happen and become your default mode, there are a lot of dealings in between. But we are now dealing with people that have gotten there and want to look at their level of compliance in that reality. Are we? Using our parameters of measure, intensity, and all of that, we'll be able to diagnose. Oh my. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're like going into a laboratory with some sample spaces, to draw up inferences, to draw up conclusions. You guys are, okay. I'm about to stop. Thank God Pastor Gideon is here. He can continue. I don't intend to continue if what I'm saying is not making sense. Hallelujah. Now, so we have Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. Now, let's write that scripture under Peter's column. Okay, go on.
On the morrow,
as they went on their journey.
Now, the sound of this mic, can you reduce the volume so that we can just flow? We are teaching. If the sound goes too high, we change from teaching. And that may not be profitable to us. All right. Something mild and succulent that we can just move with.
On the morrow, as they went on their journey. And drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour.
Now what's the sixth hour? Do you have another translation of the Bible that helps us with clarity? What do you have there? Noon. All right. Okay.
And he became very hungry.
And
would have eaten.
Has that happened to you before? It has. You were going to pray and suddenly there was a surge of hunger. Okay, it has not happened to you. Okay. Because it has not happened to you, I will not explain. Go on. They say, no, I'm all by myself. So, let's. Has it happened to you before?
Yes.
I don't know what made us like this. In the mosque, when they are discussing about going to kill people, everybody said, but God will help us. All right. That one, it has not happened, so it's not relevant. When it happens, you let us know that this thing has terrible now. Begin to go in. He was going for prayer, and then there was a surge of hunger. Yes.
But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance.
So that means he gave an instruction from the rooftop that you guys go back and be doing something there. Yeah. So he had not entered the prayer. He wanted to pray. Then there was a surge. Then he said, okay, now there must be arrangement to. Then they were not told he prayed. I said they were making ready. Then the trance now came upon him. And what did he see? Now I want you to understand that these things he's seeing are strong kingdom policies breaking out of heaven. These things he's seen. Kingdom, they are not of earth. These are heaven's protocol, heaven's policies, heaven's legislation, heaven's deliberation at that time. And he was brought to become a partaker of that deliberation because it has to do with his realm. Among the people that had stature to sit at the table, there were very few. But at this time, only him among those people was doing something close to prayer. The rest, I don't know where they were, but he was the one closest. So he was drawn into a meeting. And by that trance, his limitation in the flesh, his limitation as a natural human being was taken away because the Holy Spirit provided a visual perspective of an emphasis held up in the heavens. And this man was brought to contemplate issues beyond his own natural intention. So it was orchestrated all together by God. Now, go on.
And saw heaven open.
And
a certain vessel descending unto him. As it had happened, a great sheet knit at the four corners.
All right.
And let down to the earth.
All right.
Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts on the earth. And wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him.
Now, that's the policy statement. By the spirit of revelation, he has seen a context. That doesn't mean that's all that happened in the meeting. But that's what he was allowed to see. That's the one that concerns him. So based on his visual coverage, that was how much he saw. I hope you know the Bible says we preach in part and prophesy in part. I've been privileged to have an encounter. I saw a vision. Then I met another brother. He saw the same vision, but he saw more than me. We were having the same vision. But his own coverage was more than my own coverage. The one I saw was the one that concerns me. I didn't know that those other parts existed. Now, many of you are receiving dealings from God. If you have ever felt that, oh boy, I see something new, I deceive you. If you have ever felt that you misrepresented that privilege. If it made you proud, if it made you feel you were set apart, why? You don't even understand what is happening is not has nothing to do with you. It's beyond you. You were just brought by privilege. Let's involve and then your manifest. If you know how much records that are taken about a man. if you know how much records. The way we deal with heavenly matters. Our disposition. Our perspective. Alright? Now, so the guy was given that part of the reality that concerns him. He was part of something bigger than him. And he would not have been able to handle the full scope of what was happening. He was just brought into the one that has to do with his own end. Kill and eat. That was the instruction. Kill and what? Eat. Meanwhile, don't forget the tools we are using for our research. One of the tools is that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we are talking about people that are like the wind. They don't have a will of their own. The Holy Ghost can push them around. The Holy Spirit can make them spend money. Holy Ghost can make them marry. Holy Ghost can make them not to marry and be celibates. The only way to understand them is Holy Ghost. Because their life is evolving from a place, from a realm that is not the realm of men. So there are a lot of misunderstandings if you are judging from the earthly landscape. What was the instruction after the vision? Kill and eat. Now, what was his own perspective?
What Peter said.
Now, this is Peter now, not the Holy Ghost. This is Peter.
Not so, Lord.
Not so.
For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
Now, let us analyze that statement. So, this guy has a perspective of righteousness and compliance he's presenting. Meanwhile, who is he dealing with? But he has a perspective of righteousness. Was a perspective of compliance and alignment he has maintained. And till this day, in that perspective of righteousness and compliance, he has not been found for wanting. It's as if God wants to make him defile himself. Not so. Not so. So, you see, there are mighty ministries that have risen in this country, whose relevance was supposed to transcend many, 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 many years and many, many, many generations and forge the golden line of the fabric of our national persona. But you see, because of not so long, there are truncations. Meanwhile, the hallmark of a son of God is that he is led by the Spirit. But you see, we are finding a situation of gross contention with the hand of God. Even though the guy was able to discern that it was God, but he politely said, not so. And his basis of conflict was a particular disposition of righteousness that he had complied to. It means that this instruction was demanding that he forsake that is perspective, in order for him to align with God's perspective. And this situation was going to expose him to critics, expose him to persecution by people that don't understand. And the guy was not willing to risk his reputation on the ground of a heavenly vision. Meanwhile, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 8, see, let me tell you the truth. If eventually at the end of the day you remain on this level and you did not grow, you are a bad person. You are a bad man. You are not a good man. You yourself, you are a bad man. When you see a man not growing, he's a bad man. tells you stories about 1986 where he raised the dead. And his God is a God of his antiquity. He's a bad man. He's a bad man. Now, the demands of God is going to put you at risk. It's going to put you at risk to several people that have not seen what you have seen. But a man that has found security in Christ will accept risk gladly, knowing that he is with God. He will accept to be criticized, accept to be spoken evil against. He can manage that. He can keep up with it and still be him. He has found enlargement enough not to feel under pressure to explain to people why he's doing what he's doing, especially when he knows that he is on the same side with God. But when you find out that what people are saying is actually true, you repent. Alright? But if it happens to be that what they are saying is a misrepresentation of the true position, the people did not call you for God's sake. So you can allow them have their way, have their say, but you have your way. And then after time evolves, we will know whether God spoke to you, and the people that open their mouth to speak, God will ensure that except they come and repent, he will have a way of keeping them measured. This is a very terrible thing for you to contend with a man that is moving out of the flesh to align with God and exposing himself to criticisms and temptations just because of our alignment. If you don't end up growing in God at the end of the day, you are a bad man. So this was his challenge. What verse are you now?
Verse 15 now.
When you find a man, I know you don't like what I'm saying. There are some people in the house of God that should not be trusted. Just put them somewhere at arm's length, all right? And relate with them like that. But don't do anything serious with them. A man that the Holy God cannot trust with something, is it you now that can trust the person? Check the person's how he's relating to God. It will now give you an insight whether you should relate with him or not. I've had too many troubles in my own afflicted short life till now. So I want to, if I can avoid trouble, let's avoid it. And one of the ways you are going to do that is to stay clear of people that God cannot trust. Stay clear. Hallelujah. Stay clear. So the guy has a perspective. And he doesn't understand that in the kingdom, ye must. Do you understand that? That's how it is. Must. It's not negotiation. Kill and eat is must. But he has a perspective. He cannot be exposed to ridicule. This is something he has done all his days. Not so, Lord. That's Peter's level of compliance. Even if God gets Peter to do something, it is this kind of battle him and God fights. I hope you know there are sometimes you get to a point where the Holy Spirit says, my spirit will not strive again. There is that breaking point. There is such a point. And I need you to know the things that will trigger that point. What is the environment at which the Holy Spirit will now say, I will not strive again? Oh, you guys are looking at me. There are some preachers that have not died, but the Holy Spirit has stopped striving. And it's evidence in the things that is being committed to them, to dispense. You see that. No, this is the history of Christianity. This is not current heaven's technology and civilization. This is the history. He's peddling the history of Christianity. There's no fresh entrance, no fresh wisdom, no revelation and wisdom. Because it's one thing for you to see something, it's another thing for you to receive wisdom from God on how to apply it, how to educate people about it, how to bring people into it. The history. May God deliver us from peddling the history of the move of God. The history. and to be in sync with God's current civilization, holding God's present revelation position. Because God is available 24/7 real time. So not so low. There's such contention that goes on. He said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, seeing that he is has become flesh. When a man takes a fleshly disposition consistently, God will begin to make arrangement for his substitute while he's still basking in the Holy Ghost. Basking there, you see. If I'm going to, it will take me 45 years to get this man to align. So, while we are trying to help him, we'll allow him grow at his own pace. But let's look for a radical. Someone that will not think much. We can use him to fill in the gap for that 45 years. And if this man is still alive, because the devil, the last time we checked, was looking for him. If this not so Lord man is still alive by 45 years, we'll now come and ask him the same question again. Kill and eat. Now, so God is multidimensional. He can be dealing with a man that is resisting. Eh? Meanwhile, he has already crystallized his substitute. And he's doing many things at the same time. Doing many things. It's very easy for you to be sidelined and put aside. And God is still moving. And then very soon you now realize that the move of God didn't miss anything because you were not part of it. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Which verse are you now?
That's 15.
15, all right, go on.
And the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Now, you see, God is so gracious. He's so gracious that he now comes to your level. He comes to, because the plane God was speaking now was within the context of what he held there. So the Lord was coming to his level, you see. What God has cleansed, don't call unclean. This is, you know, Baba doesn't need to do this. So he's reaching out now. He has, this is a passionate appeal at this point. Go on.
16.
16.
This was done trying.
So that means there were three attempts to reach out. But you know, the spirit will not strive with man forever. At some point, the vision and the packages that came from heaven will be drawn back. And that's the most terrible thing that can happen to a man when the visions are drawn back. It means God has now crystallized an economy for your own development, which is different from what was planned in the studio. There's an economy. There's a ration that on your own measured level, there's a ration he'll be giving you to maintain you. Maintenance ration. And then keep you going. Meanwhile, he has gone somewhere to put his hand upon somebody and to bring him into line so that the person that can respond to him. Now, that's it happened three times. Okay. On the other column, Paul. Galatians chapter 1. Now, the reason why we are doing this, we are using these great men as the yardstick for us to evaluate our own lives. And just in case you are in this category of Peter, not so Lord, you know, and all of that. When God speaks, when you hear an idea from God, you know, mention all the impossibilities around it and why it is not the most strategic thing to be done. And you do that in your mannerisms, in your disposition, in your opinion, in your outlook. And you just keep doing that in the flesh. A time comes where God will no longer strive with you. I need to say something quietly. Quiet. Some of my disciples outside of Benue State came to me and asked, because they met some of you. And I said, why is it that the people that are on ground are not growing as fast as people that are feeding on it? They were not present in the meetings. They just picked the messages and they are feeding on it. I met some of them, crazy people. Met a lot of them in the East. Crazy people. I didn't even know. Met a lot of them in the North. Crazy people. Is it that we have said not so long? As a people. Is it that we are rationalizing things? Because if I don't bring this dimension now, you just see it as a Bible study. You will not see it as something speaking to you. I have seen people that are fed on these messages and what they have become. A guy that came here and after he heard the sermon, he claimed that God told him, this is the voice you should follow for your lifetime. And you know, it's God that spoke to him. I didn't hear it. So I will prove it, whether it is true that God spoke. And the way I will prove it will take 3 years. Whether you still believe that in 3 years. And in those 3 years, you will not have access to me. We'll be talking on phone. And I'll be directing you to the sermons. The things you need, I preached them before. Let's see what you will do with them. You know, the guy prayed. They prayed for 74 night vigils. When they invited me to preach in their ministry, I said, I'm coming. But other meetings came, other obligations came. There were night vigils for 74 days to ensure that I come for that meeting. So I was able to give them one night. Flew to Abuja, who now went there. When I saw the intensity was terrible. Jesus. It exceeded my expectations. Oh, la, 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 la. That guy with asthma that I prayed for, casually, I just touched him. I touched him. Because the guy doesn't sleep with fan. He doesn't eat some things. So when I touched him, he didn't follow. I said, I take asthma away. But he didn't follow. Just like that. Then he now went off his shirt and slept under fan. And there was no asthma. He now started eating those things. There was no reaction. So he now ran to Tena 3 days later and said, oh boy, did I say that asthma? Don't. There's a guy that was deaf in the meeting. He can't use his left ear to pick calls. So I touched him. I said, how will we know you are healed now? He said, except he calls and confirm that he can use the ear. I said, go outside and dial somebody. Dial a stranger. Dial a friend. Dial a foe. You know? Put the phone on that ear. And he was able to. He came back and he was wondering. Because nothing happened to him. When I touched him, I said, he didn't feel anything. But deafness had gone. Now, I was telling, because I was showing him that, I want to leave a spiritual mantle on you. But this is what the mantle does. If I come back after 3 months, you should be able to do this thing. So I was testing the mantle for him. That the mantle can remove deafness. It can take asthma. So I was just showing him, before I now anointed him. Hallelujah. You need to, maybe when we are going again, because I've given, when I saw the, what, I gave them a date in February, so you follow me there. Now, I went to the east, and I met some people, geez, I think those ones were the most zealous set of people I've ever seen. In fact, the way they believed in what I teach, I became afraid, because I said, what if I make a mistake? The way these people are, I became afraid. I went back to repent because of their zeal. Because God will kill me if I give them a wrong thing. The way they were. If you form another religion entirely. I saw all kinds of things. Then I will come back home. I will hear gossip. Is that not it? Is it not that there is not so, Lord, in this matter? Not so, Lord. Not so. Is it true that God did not quicken some people with some instructions that they resisted? They excel in the flesh. Excel. You know, when I want to, like, Mommy Budu wanted to talk to me, I said, don't talk here. So we had to go to the office and close the window and the door to talk. Because I understand. When you release it, not so, Lord. The way you hear that thing, after 3 days, you will now wonder what is happening. So when we are teaching, please don't say, oh, who is good Bible study? I'm just saying that there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem. But meanwhile, the problem is with you. I'm okay. And the problem is not with what I'm preaching. Because I've seen people that have seen what it did to the lives of people. It's not with what I'm preaching. It's not, I'm okay. But I will still preach and draw your attention to the fact that there is some resistance with the Holy Ghost in this house.
You see, and we can be managing it and going like this. It is only when we have spent like 10 years that some people will know that they wasted their time. That's a bad thing. To avoid that bad thing is either you decide to be flesh totally, or you repent and let's do God's work. Because God is taking an inventory of everybody sitting here. The inventory is so meticulous that it captures details. Don't be a part of what you are not a part of. Not so long. Not so long. When we were doing that, Pastor, when we're doing that graduation for the Bible school students, that's the first time I heard him preach. He just... Then I saw myself in him. I said, I don't know this guy like this. That's the first time. You see, so God is actually... God, you know, God is wise. And he will always raise a sign to show that just in case you rejected him, some others did not. I saw the same grace that God put on me many years ago. I saw it in a better way, better packaged, rising without the challenges may I pass through. Because most of you can't even survive what I went through. So this one just is easy. Why? Jesus. Just going. And then somebody will come and his own, anytime he speaks, his problem that is Satan. You are a bad man. You are a bad man. And watch it. Because we are 8 years now, be 2 more years. If you cannot catch up in the next 2 years, you won't catch up again. If you can't catch up in 2 years, don't worry. Go and look for a job with somewhere. I'm talking to you directly. This one is not part of the message. It's you. If in 2 years' time you can't catch up, think of something else. Not so. Not so long. It takes a lot of sacrifice to serve God. Yes. A man that is not ready to sacrifice is not even, he doesn't understand the service of God. But God can take you from anywhere, from any village, from any limitation. If you serve him, and he will make you great. The spirit of God is a spirit of greatness. Follow him, he will take you into greatness. Today we have AC. It came out of obedience. And see, as we are now, like American people. Now, people see us on air, they say, oh boy. Your church is full of rich people. See, they have a cross problem. They have 5 people. Let's follow him. Let us not have another agenda. Let's follow him. Alright? So that in 10 years' time, in 5 years' time, but you have 2 years to come out of your unbelief. Because what will begin to happen after 2 years? Because after 2 years, I will not be as accessible as I am now. You know, after meeting you, come, I say, oh my God, because my heart is too tender. I can't see people suffer. That's why I was anointed, so that you will not be afflicted. But in the next 2 years' time, I won't come. Because we have so much work to do. I can't waste time with you here. It will be wasting of time. In the next 2 years, you can't just come to my house and you come and see me. Say, oh, Pastor, we didn't plan, no. You just showed up. Say, ah. I say, my Pastor, I won't allow it. Because at that time, I've entered the reason why I came to this land. You have 2 years to catch up. In that 2 years, I know you will say that he's a wicked man. See, they can't see him. He has put barrier. But when you were seeing him, you didn't do anything with it. But you see, for us to operate at that level, that's how it will be. So if you don't catch up for 2 years, I don't have any apology for you. The people that are running like that, let's talk together. We will encourage ourselves more on that level. Because we need to root down this city. And we are just two years of development left. By the time we are 10 years old, we will hold meetings that will shake this city. We'll come out of the cave. Amen. Oh, I assure you. In that FBB square, it will be filled up. You will see people hungry for God, more hungry than you, that will discover that, this kind of thing they, and will not stop until it's done. Amen. I'm just gathering momentum for 2 years and purging myself. I have weaknesses that I'm dealing with. God has assured me that from now to the next 2 years, He will rid me of those weaknesses and infirmities. Because it's not good for you to stand on stage with 5,000 people when you have the infirmities. There's a prosperity that you'll never meet until you stand on that stage. So, all right. Hallelujah. So, we are not in a hurry. But we are. The spirit in us has destined us to go there. He's troubling us. That is where we are going. We don't want to go there. He said, no, that is my destination for you. From 2 years' time, we'll stand on platforms like that in the nations of the world. Thousands of people. Meanwhile, I've seen, if it's 1,000, I've been seeing 1,000 for long. If it's 1,000, I've been seeing 1,000, 3,000, 2,000, 5,000 for long. I'm saying we're generating it in this city. We're using 2 years, just 2 years to prepare. Me, I don't want to start what I can't finish. So, I know my own problem. And I will not go beyond what I can handle. But in 2 years' time, I can handle that. Hallelujah. We'll unplug this city. There's a wine we'll send into the city. If anybody drinks it, he will not be able to drink anything else. We went to test our Abuja. You were there now. We used the stick. And I saw that there's water there. You know, when somebody wants to dig a borehole, there's what we call a seismic analysis. Seismic. We went for seismic in Abuja. We did seismic in Lagos. Yeah. Yes, Lagos seismic. I got the reading. I got the reading. Oh, you think Lagos will remain like that?
No.
Wait. Seismic. Give us the value. Show that there's water, plenty water inside of Lagos. I said, okay. We'll now put a peg there. Before you bring the drill bit, you have to do the seismic, then you put a peg. We are doing it against a time. And God now has given me my real colleagues in destiny. You know, it takes like 10 years of very forceful labor for you to find your friends. Because you go and contract a man that is saying, not so, Lord. And your economy, I found my guys. We have one heart for the Lord. And I think we'll do good, we'll bring profit to His kingdom. But me, among them, I'm the weakest. So me, I'm trying to survive. Well, I will survive. By your own prayer too. And in 2 years' time, we'll never do any small thing again. My days of smallness ends in the next 2 years. 2017. Nothing small again. If I'm doing anything, just know that it is too big, self. Too. Can you believe the Holy Ghost? It's obedience that will bring you into greatness. A man that is not obeying God will be strict. He will be straight. The Bible calls it straight. Obedience. Don't worry about the rigor of today. You won't remember today. The shoe you wore, the left leg was bigger than the right leg. But you won't remember it. You will not remember it in the days to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, sister, can we do another scripture? Galatians. This scripture, you put it on Paul's side. By 12 o'clock, I'll stop so that Pastor Gideon can bring rain. But you can't pass it here without done. Hallelujah. You know, it takes time to find a relative, spiritual relative. A relative. So I found one. Found one there. I have 4 relatives. I don't need more. Those 4 is enough. I will find my way. With 4. You know, when the baggage is too much, and somebody says, not so, Lord, the whole adventure can stop. These ones I'm talking about will not say not so to God. Now, Galatians chapter 1, quickly, as I try to round up. Maybe we'll continue in the evening. We'll do power night on Sunday. Don't worry. But we'll teach throughout. Till Sunday. Then Sunday, I will show you something happening in heaven. Then we'll run the commentaries as it's happening. I'll be telling you. Then when we reach where I can't tell you again, we'll leave it. Galatians chapter 1. Prepare. We have 2 years to go. Now, there's a brother here. They began to pray in Lagos and they are giving me feedback. Alright? The strange things God has started using them to do. But people here don't know that such things are happening. And when those people come here, they just sit down quietly. But I know what God is doing with them. And there are many people like that, the ones I met in Aba, in Onitsha, in Afiko, Bonny State, in Enugu, in... There's something happening to the Igbo nation now. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing happening. Alright. Galatians. Sister, where are we? Galatians 5.
From verse
15.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh.
Now, I want you to underline the word immediately. Now, let us analyze the two scenarios. Because the reason for which Peter was contending with the Holy Ghost was because of his reputation in keeping the law. This one is a Pharisee. Not just a keeper of the law, a teacher and a defender of the law. It should be more difficult for Paul to respond to the Holy Ghost on those grounds. But it was Paul that did not even think about his pedigree. It was Paul that now responded immediately. So obviously the destiny of these two people in the kingdom of God will not be the same. The destiny of these two people will not be the same. Can I tell a story before I round up? I'll continue in the evening. Maybe when you are passing by, you can. But when that thing comes, I will be. And you too, you have to be. Don't mind us. We have our own way. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Many years ago, while I was on campus, there was this great preacher that I so loved. He was a prophet. He just got married and we invited his father in the Lord for a crusade on our campus, and his father in the Lord now sent him for that crusade to cover for him. That's where we met him. In fact, he came to the crusade ground. The suit he brought was his wedding suit. It was cream in color. We applied for the venue of the meeting. It's supposed to be long tennis court. And we applied for it late. We applied for it on Thursday. Even though they had given us verbal approval. But no, applied for it on Wednesday. On Thursday. We submitted it on Thursday to start the crusade on Thursday. They had given us verbal approval, but we did not have the letter in hand. So then, Bajime was the VC of Benue State University, and they were playing lawn tennis court. Playing tennis. If I mention the name of the person he was playing with, somebody here might meet me at the end of the service, because he was playing with the person's father. So he was playing with somebody. There's something I said in one of my sermons about that man. And the daughter knows that thing. And the daughter didn't say for about 2 years, and then the daughter said, you said this too. So playing with the person's father. We now brought the equipment and put it by the side of the tennis court, waiting for them to finish. Suddenly, Virgin Media uses glasses that when I'm playing tennis in the night. So when Vajime was now going, he now came and said, who is the leader of this group? I said, yeah, I'm the one. He said, did you get permission for this? Yeah, we do. Where's the permission? We don't, he's not physically present, but we secured. Then he now called security people to come and pick me. And then the believers now told security that you cannot pick this man. If you pick this man, we are not sure of. So the security became, we know how to deal with them. Don't mind our own way. But that was all we knew then. Anyway, we can't pick this one. This man has work to do. If you pick him, the work will not happen. And you are not, you don't have the authority to stop that work. So the security people perceive that it's not likely going to be very easy that evening. So they now left me. And when they left me now, we now started setting up. Did the security say, who gave us the right to set up? I said, wait first. We'll answer you later. We'll continue setting up. As we're setting up, NEPA now took light. Then I now went to one guy that runs photocopying stuff. He normally tops his gen after work so that the next day he can continue. So after topping, I said, the Lord has need. The Lord has need. And thank God we didn't meet the man himself. It was his sales girl that we met. We said, God has need. We took the gen and then dropped deposit. We connected that thing. So the security men picked me again. And then people, including court boys, say, you can't. So they now dropped me again. When they dropped me, no, everybody was afraid of leading prayer. I just went there. Then I say, okay, this is the plan. We'll follow you to the field. Then we'll now dismantle everything. And then you leave it. Tomorrow when you get the paper, then I say, I like this thing. That's it. I like it. It's a good thing. Let's go. So when I went there, I received the mic and I started leading prayer. And the tongues, the tongue, I was a radical. Jesus, the tongues I blasted is in capital letters. Capital. So when I started praying and people started gathering, the security people now went for some time. I was still praying. Pray. And the kind of prayer that when you see me, you think it was with demonstration. No. I was doing that. People began to gather. People began to come. So the security people now came. All the security this time. And gathered round the tennis court. Round it. So that maybe when the meeting has finished. So that's when that my man now came. So my man now came and he said, he saw that the school authorities have been fighting me. That's what he saw in his prayer. You saw that? Yes. He said he has come to curse some of them now. I said, you came late. they were here. Eh? I said, Kai, I'm liking you. You know? He came and he now said, okay, no need for this, your praise and worship. Just let's start this thing. So I went and collected the mic, introduced him, and gave him the mic. He now said, he gave a word of knowledge straight. I think he's one of the security men. He gave a graphic word of knowledge. Before we knew it, people started falling on the ground. All kinds of things began to take place on that. So when we finished the crusade, I now went to surrender myself for arrest. Say, you wanted to pick me? Let's go. Then the security man, I said, no, it's not arrest now. What is the name of this church? What? Which church is this? They know it's not church, it's fellowship. We just invited this man. I said, we'll tell you what we want tomorrow. That was how my relationship with the man started. And we started preaching in villages and towns. I'll at least go on Friday, find out the venue of his next crusade. I'll leave school and go there, pray, we'll go for the crusade. On Sunday night, I'll come back to school. Next weekend, I'm meeting somewhere else. So we started a relationship. Hallelujah. And the grace was so much on this man. So intense. In fact, those days they give us a bed. One bed like this. Even if the bed is too big, he would tell me that they didn't give me and him bed. They gave him bed. So anyhow, I can survive outside bed. God will give me wisdom. So he will sleep on the bed. So me, I sleep on the floor. And then when the floor starts becoming cold, I wake up. Begin to pray. He will sleep comfortably. In the morning time, he just wake up and say, "Kayato kene kato kasi katoma." That's all. Then we'll go for the crusade. He, power. You come back, you sleep. I want to sleep on the bed. Pray till morning. The night, you wake up, say, "Kato sale keto koboko sike." That's all. I say, wait, I need to know what this man. Kept following. Then God now blessed us. He went somewhere. They gave him a Benz. Then I saw another side of the man. When they gave him that Benz, he just began to form big man. He was my friend though before, but with Benz. Ah. You know, just like the bed is his, is him. Eh? So the car is what? His own. I can meet him. With that car, he became big man. And the car became a distraction. God had to burn that car. The car caught fire and burnt off. But I was learning. When I saw those manifestations, when car came, I said, no. I should have gone deep with God such that this kind of thing cannot make me like. So I was learning positive things and learning things to avoid. But I still followed. And we kept going. Then he now had an invitation to South Africa. The wrong thing I did in our whole relationship was that I was the one that bought him the passport. Paid for the passport. That was the wrong thing I did. Because he was not supposed to have international exposure at that time. It was when he went to the nations and he began to call their names. Because he can call names. He can call your son name. He can call your own name. He can call. From that one meeting, he had an invitation that took him outside of the... He was outside of the country for 2 years from one meeting. 27 countries were represented in that one meeting. And that was how he began to preach from country to country, from country. 1 year later, he sent me an email that the president of Congo received him on a red carpet. Yes, they sent the private jet of Congo to pick him up from Kenya. And when he landed, he came out of the jet. It was red carpet. Somebody that I saw that they gave him Benz regular. So imagine what that red carpet did to him, my friend. was never the same again. I will stop the story here. Years later, he came back, sent me a text. Said, I'm in Lagos. Where are you? Because those years he was out, we were also plowing the ground here. Meanwhile, because I followed him for long, I've heard his real body. Because anytime he goes to Lafia, he says, Kai, this is where God has sent me. He said, there's a force there that want to keep him there. We actually went and began that Lafia walk. It was on Lafia I brought that passport, in keeping with the fact that he said he had an international invitation. Then he now left the Lafia to go to that meeting and abandoned the Lafia. And now, when he even came back 2 years later, he didn't even talk about going back to the Lafia. He has repented. He still won't. You know, and a time comes when the Holy Ghost says, my spirit will not strive. When he prays about Lafia, I've heard him groan, cry. And you know when he got to Lafia, that's when he saw, they were doing elections. That, I think Yaradua time or so, he got there, he saw a poster of one man, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to him. And you know he's a very bold man. When the Holy Ghost spoke to him, he now went to the man campaigns or organization house and said, where is this man? He said, you. They refused him to see the man. He now told them what will happen after the primaries. That he's going to lose. When he loses, let him look for him. He left. And the man lost the primaries and then said, that prophet? He went to look. I mean about 1 month that he entered the town, he had prophecy for the king, for the kingpins of the territory. Only God knows what would have happened to him. When he went to Kenya, he prophesied to a man. The man came to him and said that the Kenyan government is owing him $70 million. Man of God, what do you have to say about that? The guy now, he bent his head and raised it and said, they'll pay you in 7 days. And they paid the man in seven days' time. And the man gave him $1 million. Is that $1 million that took my master away? He took my master away. And you know what? When he came back to Nigeria, he was broke. My master. That's the man that taught me how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. That's the man that taught me how to access the word of knowledge. That's the man that taught me how, what happens that people fall. This anointing that makes people, that knocks people down. He taught me those things. That's the man that taught. By that is gift. $1 million. And then the exchange rate was 150 then. That's 150 million naira. Do you know that he would have built a camp in Lafia? And he would have been an ambassador in his own right. Because people would be, it would be pilgrimage. But when he went to Congo, that time they received him on red carpet. Alright? The president of Congo, DRC, gave him a gold mine. So he had laborers that were laboring, mining gold. Alright? And the Arabians were there to buy. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. The Arabians were there to buy the gold that was being mined from the land. My prophet, my master, became a businessman selling. It was in that gold mining business he lost that $1 million, because those Arabians that came, they came with their altar. They came with their altar. He, having forgotten his place of assignment, was being motivated by greed. And their altar works on anybody that has subscribed to greed. Have you seen this one that they do? That they say, go and bring your money and all of that. That If you that will double it. So if the person doesn't have a fundamental issue of greed, that spell won't work. So that was how the $1 million went, and then he now was in debt. That was money for Bafia. Came back broke. I thought that, okay, haven't come back. All right, come. What about? No, the emphasis was not Lafayette. Try. Hey. And well, I don't know where he got one car driving. He had an accident in Daudu. What God was saying was that you have gone past the place of safety. I thought when he came out of the wreck of that car, he will not remember Lafayette. This man is gifted. This man is grace. This man is anointed. But not so, Lord. This man should be one of the names that should be celebrated now in this country. But you don't know him. Can we pray and ask God to help us with not so, Lord?